just like you will mine, if I'll just remember that he lives deep inside. So why should I worry and why should I fear when the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible how he walked with them, brought light to the darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death is so nigh, I'll just search for the Master. He said he'll be there on time. And when I'm in trouble and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. And why should I worry and why should I fear when the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. And why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, he stays always. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes by.
Amen. Let's look in Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And we're going to read the whole psalm. And it's, we're going to share a message entitled Bearing Precious Seeds. Remember, as you're opening your Bibles there, next Sunday at 5:15 is VBS meeting. And it's our preliminary meeting. Get things organized and ready to go for in July. And so if you've signed up to help out or you'd like to help out, make sure you come to that meeting at 5:15 next Sunday. It's May 23rd in the afternoon. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they, among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful passage of Scripture that we could read together tonight. I pray that you might just impress on our hearts some simple principles about taking the seed of the word and sharing it with others. And Lord, what a privilege that we have that someone took the word of God and shared it with us, and we were gloriously saved. And God, what a privilege it is for us to take the Bible and share it with others that they might be saved. And so God, I pray that you would help us, you'd bless us. Lord, you would stir us in our faith tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so bearing precious seed. It's believed that this psalm, Psalm 126, was written in response to God's delivering the children of Israel from Assyria during the days of Hezekiah. You read about that in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19. We don't have time to read those chapters tonight, but it'd be well for you to go back when you get home and read 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, and then reread Psalm 126. And it is identifying the response of the people of God because God had delivered them out of bondage under Assyria. It is very clear that it is a psalm of rejoicing, a psalm of celebration, if you will, in reference to the fact that God is able to deliver, and he had delivered the children of Israel. And certainly, if anybody should be happy and somebody that should be rejoicing ought to be those that say they're saved. Now, sometimes I wonder about people whether they're saved because I don't see much joy in their face and I don't hear much expression of excitement about being a Christian, and it makes me wonder sometimes. I know when I got saved, the Lord put a fire down in my soul. He stirred me up. I got a good dose, and I ain't never got over it, amen? And I don't ever want to get over it. And so I enjoy my Christian life. I enjoy doing what God's called me to do, and I'm excited about that. But it's interesting, some things here that they identify about this deliverance of God. First of all, just an introductory thought in verse 1, it was unbelievable to them. Notice in verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And they were like, is this real? Did he really set us free? Did he change our lives? It's like a dream. It's unbelievable. And I remember years ago when I felt God called me to preach, and we went off to Bible college and we launched out in the ministry and everything. People that I grew up with, they were like, Mike Waggle's a preacher. They could not believe that. One fellow, I was driving tractor and trailer, and I'd stopped to go into the truck stop to get something to eat, and he had stopped too. We were kind of running together in a convoy. Amen. Remember those things back on the CB and back in the 70s. But anyway, we went in to get something to eat, and I had a for sale sign on my truck. And as we were walking across there, he said, Mike, what are you doing? Buying a new truck? And I said, no. I said, no, man, I got saved, and God's called me to preach. And I'm getting rid of my truck to go to school and prepare to preach. He stopped right in the middle of the parking lot and grabbed my arm. And he said, what, is there more money in that? And the deliverance of God, I often thought over the years, if I said yes, if he would have sold his truck and went to Bible college, I don't know. But it's unbelievable that God would deliver us. It's unbelievable that God can take wicked sinners and make them holy saints, amen. And Israel, they're rejoicing because they're dumbfounded. It's like we're living a dream. God set us free. And that's the problem so many times. I think we get so accustomed to the bondage that we can't believe that we can be free. And we see that it's unbelievable. I saw a thing years ago looking at, and they were said the way you take an elephant, as huge as an elephant is, as strong as they are, and you take and chain them up with a heavy chain on their foot to a spike. I don't like it, but that's what they do. And if he tries to get away, he can't get away because it's tugging on the chain. He can't break the chain. What happens to him is that he becomes accustomed to the heaviness of the chain, that eventually they can take the chain off and just put a light rope around his foot and tie it to the stake. When he goes to walk away, he feels the tug and he feels that he's trapped. He can't. All he has to do is continue to walk and he can walk away. And that's what happens to us many times, is what we do is we become accustomed to the fact of living in bondage. And then God does something miraculous and we're like, man, this is unbelievable. We're like people, is this a dream? And so it was an unbelievable experience. Notice in verse 2, it was an emotional experience. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Here's these people that were weeping and mourning because they were out of their homeland, people that were weeping and mourning because they were in bondage, and they longed to be back in their homeland. Now, all of a sudden, God has set them free, and now their mouth is filled with laughter. Those that were mourning and now are happy. They're rejoicing. And they're singing songs unto their God. The response of the heathen around them was like, man, God must have done great things for them. Now, I just believe if Christians would be excited, be happy once in a while, and sing some praises unto God and testify of his grace, I believe the unsaved will want to get saved. And so the response was unbelievable, and the response was emotional. Notice the response was grateful. In verse 3, it says, and the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They're just expressing thanksgiving. They're saying, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Never get over the fact that God has delivered your soul. Always be thankful to God. We go through trials and we go through difficulties, and I've talked to folks over the years, and they're Christians, been Christians, and a tragedy hits them, and right away they're like, well, I don't understand why this has happened to me. And the reality is, I don't either. But I know this, I'm thankful that God is with me. As we studied in our discussion panel, he is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, he leads his sheep, he provides for his sheep, he cares for his sheep, and because of that, I can be thankful no matter what it is I'm going through. I can still say, thank you, Lord. And so they were grateful. And then in verse 5 and 6, they were serviceable. Notice in verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They were serviceable. In other words, their life counted in impacting other people's lives for the Lord. And I don't think there's a greater thing we can do as a Christian than to understand that our life can impact others for Christ. Whether it be singing in church, whether it be testifying in church, whether it be soul winning on the street, or whether it be preaching, or whatever it may be, children's ministry, bus ministry, whatever it is, your life can impact others because of what God has done in your life. And so we want to bear that precious seed of what God has said and what he has done. This psalm reminds us that God can deliver people from bondage if we will simply come to the point of just bearing the precious seed of the word of God. So let's think about a few things here. I only have 62 verses. Not that many. I wore out for this morning, so it won't be long. Amen. But anyway, first of all, I see this. Verse 6 is our text verse. So I would say going. Bearing precious seeds involves going. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He that goeth forth. And so when we talk about bearing precious seed, it does require of us to go. You got to go. And you got to talk to somebody. I remember years ago I did a thing on soul winning, how to be an effective soul winner, and one of my points was open your mouth. That's all you got to do, is just open your mouth up. We open our mouths up about everything else. So when we open our mouth up about to Jesus Christ, but it goeth, he that goeth forth. We go by command, understand that. And I've had people over the years say, well, what are you doing out here? What right do you have to come up here knocking on my door? Well, I'm going because of commands of God. God commanded me to do that. Matthew chapter 28, we know chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 is what we call the Great Commission. We're commanded, Jesus commanded his disciples, and he commands us to go and preach the gospel. He commands us to go share the good news. He commands us to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He commands us to teach them all things that are profitable unto them. And so what we do in going is by command. We're told to do so. And really, you have to understand this matter of sharing our faith is not an option that we have. It's a command that we've received. So it's a command to go. It's with authority. We go with authority. I've had people ask me, well, by what authority are you out here? You can't do this. I've had police stop me out, soul winning, but that's all right. They need the gospel too. So I didn't have to go after them. They came after me so I could give them the gospel. You know? And this was years ago. I had a police officer stop me, and he was kind of giving me a hard time about being in the neighborhood, and there's robberies in the neighborhood. And I said, really? I'm a guy walking down here with a coat and tie on. Do you think I'm going to crawl through some window and rob somebody? I mean, come on, give me a break. And so he's giving me a little bit of run around. I said, you know what? By the way, you need to know why I'm out here. And I pulled out a track. I said, here, you ought to read. Oh, you know, we just found up. When he got off the step real quick. He didn't want to talk about it. I have to laugh. But why can you do that? Because you're sent by the authority of Christ. Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Whatsoever you have to ask of the Father in my name, it may be given unto you. We go in with authority. We don't go with the authority of the world. We go with the authority of Christ. He has chosen us to be that witness. So there has to be that going. And then it's not only by command and by authority, but through the Spirit. In Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's a lot of people like to talk about the Holy Ghost. A lot of people want to talk about the Holy Spirit. A lot of people want to talk about the move of the Holy Spirit in their life. But you do understand, it says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. The first thing that takes place with the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life is that you're convicted of the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit to go out and testify to others who Jesus Christ is. And so he that goeth forth, very simple concept, you just got to go. Number two, I see this, there's the weeping, the weeping. Notice in verse 6, it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. And so having an emotional burden for others to want to be able to bring them to Christ. And that this matter of weeping comes by developing a burden. When Jesus saw the multitudes that they were scattered about as a sheep having no shepherd, it says what about it? It says he was moved with compassion. And so weeping for the lost, being burdened for the lost, developing a burden. And the only way you can do that is you got to get in people's homes. You got to get with people to see that. And I was shocked, actually, when I went to Bible college. And we had to be involved in some ministry. And I was talking to a bus pastor out there. And, because I drove tractor and trailer, he said, oh, man, you need to get in the bus ministry. You can drive a bus. And so that's when I started driving bus for church. And, of course, the bus ministry, every Saturday morning, we went out soul winning for about 4 or 5 hours every Saturday. And I got into people's homes. I could not believe the deplorable situations that people were living in America. In America. In a big town like Pontiac, Michigan, a suburb really of Detroit, Michigan. And people were living like that. And I mean, it was disgusting type of situation that people were living in, these kids were living in. And you know what God did? He broke my heart. He broke my heart because of the fact that I saw their condition. God put a burden on my heart that somebody's got to tell them how to be saved. And somebody's got to tell them there is a God in heaven who cares for them in the situation that they are in. You will never have a burden for people that you do not know until you go and you get involved in the people that you do not know's life. And just sitting in church, you will not get a burden. The Spirit of God's going to lead us to people who are hurting that need the truth of the gospel so that they might be delivered from their sins, so they might have the hope of heaven. They may not have much hope in this world, but they can have the hope of heaven. Now, I remember Dr. Malone saying years ago, he's out soul winning, and he came to this woman's house, big house, rich house, wealthy people lived there. And he knocked on the door, and he went in, and the lady, the owner of the house, invited him in. She was an older lady. And he told her, he got talking with her, and he said, he told her, you know, you got a beautiful home here. You truly are blessed with everything that you have here. And the woman began to weep and said, this is a house of misery. She had no hope. She was lost and on her way to hell. She had all the riches and material things that the world could offer, but lived a life nobody cared for. She was alone in the house. Nobody was concerned about her health or conditions or whatever. And he knocked on the door and went into that home and led that lady to the Lord, and she got hope in her heart and she got joy in her soul. See, we have a tendency to drive down the road and see the big fancy houses that we can't afford. We're afraid to go up and knock on the door, afraid we might get a tax bill. Amen. New Jersey, just never know. But there's people in those houses that have everything. Yeah, it's always interesting to this. You go up and you knock on these big fancy houses. Nobody's ever home. I'm like, does anybody live here? I mean, I've gone there on Saturday mornings. I've gone in the evening. I've gone in all kinds of different times. And nobody's home. What's the sense in having a big house like that if you're never home? And then I thought, well, where's the family structure? Where's the family connection? Where's the emotional support? Where is it? It's not there. And so we need to go where people are, whether they're in poverty or whether they're in wealth, and get a burden so that we can start weeping in the altar for people to be saved. He that goeth forth weepeth. So develop a burden. Seeing the need. In Nehemiah, we don't turn over to Nehemiah chapter 2. We know Nehemiah went to see Jerusalem and the condition of Jerusalem with the walls around Jerusalem. And when he saw that the walls were torn down, he got a burden and began to weep because of the destruction of Jerusalem. And you need to see people where they are. They're hurting, and they are in need of somebody just to tell them of who Christ is. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eyes affected my heart because of all the daughters of my city. And literally having a heart that is stirred because we do see the need of people. You know, I ride down the road and I see people, I see kids on the side of the road. I was coming over the other morning and coming down the road, and the kids were standing out on the street waiting for the bus, I guess. And as they were waiting for the bus, I saw them all standing there, and they all had masks on and everything else. And I just looked at them as I went by. I was like, are you kidding me? This is what our young people have become. They're living a life of fear. They're living a life of oppression. They're living a life of no direction. I mean, come on, folks. Somebody ought to get a burden enough to where they're willing to start weeping for people who really have a need. And that's every person we come in contact with. I was in Home Depot this past week, and I was in there to get some mulch, I guess, and some other things. I don't know. I went in there, and I was watching people as they went past different people. They would go to walk past somebody, and they'd step over like this. They want to get to make sure we got 6 foot. I was thinking about going and buying a foot rule and pulling it out at 6 feet and walk around like this. People have lost all sense of security. I mean, it's crazy. And so what it ought to do is stir us emotionally where we weep for people. Then I see this matter of weeping, not only developing a burden and seeing the need, but identifying our condition. And Israel here has identified their condition. They were in captivity, and they're rejoicing that they're actually been set free. And So if we're willing to identify our condition, then and the condition of others, then we'll truly be able to be moved and stirred to be able to do something for people if we can. And so I see there's going. I see there's weeping. Number three, I see there's sowing. Because in verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed is the word of God. It brings convictions. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts to the heart of every issue. It brings conviction on individuals. And we need to open up the Bible and show them what the word of God says. I was talking to this guy. He was demon-possessed, I believe. And he was, wild-eyed. And he was a crazy guy. And I was witness to him and everything, and he was saying, but the Bible's not true, and God's not true, and look at the world around us, God's and everything and around us and all that. And I said something about hell. He said, there's no hell, and I reached in my pocket and pulled out my New Testament. I had my dagger with me. I didn't have my sword, amen. And I pulled out my New Testament. I said, well, the Bible says right over here in Luke chapter 16. He went, get that Bible away from me. Why did he do it? Because the Bible brings conviction. People don't want to hear what your opinion is. They need to hear what the Bible has to say. So the sowing, bearing precious seed. Not only does it bring conviction, but it builds faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we want someone to have faith in Christ, they need to find faith in Christ through what the word of God says. Take them through the plan of salvation. I don't care if it's the Romans road, or the John's road, or Isaiah road, Ezekiel road. I don't care what road you're on. Get on to Christ, amen? Thank you, Lord. Builds faith. It judges the soul. In John chapter 12, in verse 48, Jesus is very clear. We have one that judges us. What is it? It's the word of God. And so it's the word of God that brings judgment. People say, well, you can't judge me. You're absolutely right. I'm not judging you. But if I open up the Bible and read it to you and you get under conviction, the word of God has judged you already. And so don't get in arguments with people. Just preach the word to them, bearing precious seed. So there's the going, there's the weeping, there's the sowing. Notice in our chapter, verse 6 here, there's the coming. Notice he says this, bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. So shall doubtless come again. We come and come. This is a matter of if you go out, you share your faith, you share the word of God, you're going to return by invitation. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That invitation is still in 2021, by the way. We need to let people just invite people to come. We say, come on out to church. I had one fellow I was talking to, I don't know, probably about a year or so ago. I was talking to him and he was saying, well, you know, if I go in the church, the ceiling will fall in. I said, well, there's been a lot of people that come in the church that the ceiling should have fallen in on, but it hasn't fell on anybody. Don't worry. I said, we put new ceiling tiles in here. Okay. Amen. By invitation. I'm glad that Jesus still invites us to come. I want to be able to go and share my faith, share the word of God, knowing that doubtless, without failure, I can come again bringing my sheaves with me. Bring somebody to the church. By invitation, we can bring them into salvation. Jesus said, all that come unto me, I will no wise cast out. And I'm thankful that people still need to be saved, and they can be saved. I understand prophecy we preached on this morning. We understand the return of Christ is near. I believe it could happen while I'm preaching, even right now. I believe that with all my heart, but I know one thing. God has not released us from the privilege and obligation to share our faith in others that they might be saved also. I like to be able to come into the presence of Lord bringing some sheaves with me, amen? I've led a lot of people to the Lord over the years that I never saw again after leading them to Christ. whether when I was driving tractor and trailer, when I was driving buses, I would pay my way through school or starting the church. I've led people to the Lord on the bus, in the truck, bus platform, at loading docks. I've led people to the Lord all over the place, and I may never see them again in this lifetime, but bless God, I'll see them again in heaven. So the coming shall doubtless come again. There's by invitation into salvation and assured redemption. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm thankful that we can be assured that we're secure in Christ. I don't understand people that believe that they can lose their salvation. What hope do you have? Really, what hope do you have? You say, well, I had faith in Christ and he saved me, so I got to live my life for the glory of God. I can't make any mistakes. So you're telling me you're never going to make a mistake. You're never going to have a sinful thought. Because every time you have a sinful thought, you just lost your salvation. What hope is that? I'm glad I'm secure in Christ. Amen. Assured redemption. So there's the going, the weeping, the sowing, the coming. There's the rejoicing. In verse 6 it says, he that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. I love that. Anything I read in the Bible about rejoicing, I get excited about. Listen, there is this matter of bearing precious seed to someone, leading someone to Christ, because there's rejoicing in heaven. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7 that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You say, well, I just can't lead people to the Lord. I've talked to a lot of people and I don't lead very many people. Well, don't you worry. When that one gets saved, there'll be some excitement in heaven. Let me tell you, I've witnessed to a lot of people that have never gotten saved. But I'm telling you one thing, when that one does get saved, there's some excitement in heaven over it. Amen. We might as well ring the bells of heaven by leading people to Christ. Amen. We sing so many songs. I don't think we think about what it says. Ring the bells of heaven. There is joy today. Why? Because a sinner has been brought out of the wild. That's why. Hey, man, I might break out in song up here. Rejoicing. Man, when you come in church, come in the church with the idea, I'm coming to rejoice today. I'm not coming, oh, well, I wonder how many songs we're going to have to sing. Well, I hope the preacher doesn't preach too long, you know. These services, they're just really good. He set the time for the service at 10:30 so he could preach till 12 o'clock and have an hour and a half. I know. I know what his ulterior motive is. No, let's rejoice. If there's rejoicing in heaven, then why don't we rejoice? There's rejoicing in the individual. That's you and me. I testify this over and over again, but I'll never forget the first kid I led to the Lord, first person I ever led to the Lord. And it was at Emmanuel Baptist Church. We were up in Michigan starting Bible college. And at the end of the service, a buddy of mine really taught me how to go soul winning and everything. He told me, he said, hey, Mike, got this young lad here, this boy, he wants to be saved. Can you show him how to be saved? I thought, oh, no, I was scared to death. And I was a nervous wreck. I said, man, I hope I don't do it wrong. This guy will be lost forever. I mean, the pressure was on me to lead this kid to the Lord. And I sat down with him. I went through the plan of salvation. He trusted Christ as a Savior. And he jumped up out of the seat, went running across the back of the church to his mother. He said, Mommy, 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 that man saved me. Let me tell you, I never got over that. I never forgot that. There's rejoicing in heaven over a sinner who gets saved. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You can get happy in the Lord if you start leading people to Christ. In the individual, there's joy of the sinner. By the sinner. In Acts chapter 8, when the eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch, got saved and he got baptized, Bible says he went his way rejoicing. Man, a sinner gets saved, boy, I'll tell you what, they get excited about the fact that they've been delivered. And I listen, I've talked to hundreds of people throughout my life as a Christian that just are burdened with vices and addictions and all kinds of things in their life that they just cannot get victory over. You lead them to Christ, and all of a sudden, they're set free. Amen. It's like they're in a dream. I know when I got saved, I couldn't believe it. I got saved, and I was driving truck. I was on the road for a couple of weeks, and I came home. I was going on the road for several days, and now on the road again. A couple of weeks had gone by, and I came home on a Saturday, and I went to get a glass of tea out of the refrigerator, and there was a six-pack of beer in the refrigerator, and it hit me. I have no desire to drink any alcohol anymore. And I thought to myself, is this a dream? Is this really happened? And we dumped that booze down the drain and got rid of it. And listen, I was rejoicing because the burden and the addiction that was in my life was removed. And so people will rejoice. People don't want to hear the gospel. They may not want to hear the gospel. But when they do hear it and get saved, they'll be excited about it. Amen. So there's rejoicing. So there's going, weeping, sowing, coming, rejoicing. Here's the last one. There's the reaping. Because it says, as he that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Here it is, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm thankful that's the promise of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, with that where I am, there ye may be also. And so the promise of Christ is there is a reaping, there is an experience that Jesus Christ has provided a place for us to dwell, and when we get there, everyone we lead to Christ is going with us, the promise of Christ. The likeness of Jesus Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I remember years ago, I heard a preacher was down in Virginia Beach area, had a big church down there. He was preaching at a conference I was at, and he says, we kind of unique church because we got all kinds of sinners around us, and he said people come in and get saved, and he said this, he said, you know, we had one day I was preaching right in the middle of my sermon. He said there was a lady that came in, a lady of the night, and she was dressed like they do. And right in the middle of the service, in the time of his preaching, she was sitting about halfway down the aisle. She got so under conviction, she just got up and started walking down the aisle. He was still preaching. She got down front. He said this. He said, I stopped preaching. I went down. Can I help you? And she said, my life is a wreck. I need to be saved. Amen. And he led her to Christ. And he said this. Not one person in the church looked down on her. Not one person in the church was upset because the service was disrupted. Not one person in the church was moved with a spirit of despising what was taking place in the church, because they saw that she was a sinner in need of forgiveness and she needed to be changed. And that woman, her life was a mess. But when she comes in the presence of Christ, she'll be like Christ because she'll see him as he is. I think we forget that God is the one that does the cleaning. God is the one that spruces us up, and God is the one that delivers us. So the reaping, bringing his sheaves with him. There's a promise of Jesus. The likeness of Jesus, the presence of Jesus. Paul, when he talks about the rapture of the church, says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord, the presence of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that he has promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. And I enjoy the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit in me. And I understand that God is always with me. And if there's any times when I feel like the Lord's not with me, it's because of me, not because of him. But what a day it's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. And I'll be able to enjoy eternity in the presence of God Almighty. Why? Because of bearing precious seed. I often think my pastor came to Pennsville, New Jersey in 1973. He graduated from Midwestern Baptist College. God put in his heart to start a church. And literally, people who graduate, men had graduated with him in 1973. My pastor planted a church in Pennsville, New Jersey. Then another pastor planted a church in Swedesboro, New Jersey. And then the next pastor planted a church in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Then another one started a church in Connecticut. And another one started a church in Massachusetts. That was all in 1973, men who graduated from Midwestern Baptist College. And multitudes of people have been saved over the last 35, 40 years since those churches were started. But I'm so thankful that my pastor went, he wept, he sowed, he was willing to come with his seed, rejoicing, reaping, that church would be there and planted and started, and I could go there in 1979 and hear the gospel and get saved. Bringing his sheaves with him. And how desperately we need to be rejoicing in the fact that what we have in this precious word, we can communicate to others and they can experience the presence of Christ. I am so grateful that somebody cared for my soul so much that they would get my wife and I under the gospel of Christ and we would get saved. And folks, there's multitudes around us. Just walk out the door. They're there. And they need to hear about Jesus Christ. Are we willing to go? Are we willing to weep? Are we willing to sow? Are we willing to come? Are we willing to rejoice? And are we willing to reap the blessings of bringing people to Christ? Bearing precious seed. What a privilege we have. What a message we have that Jesus Christ still saves. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. My Father, I come to you. I thank you so much for the seed of the word, for the hope in our soul, for the graciousness of our Savior. We're thankful that he is the shepherd. We're thankful that he is the door to heaven. And we're thankful that we can know that we're saved tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd bless in this invitation, that you would show us what we can do, who it is that we can talk to. Lord, may we be able to experience in an unbelievable way the deliverance of God and the salvation of men and women and boys and girls. And so I pray that you'd bless us tonight in Jesus' name. I ask you to just stand and bow your heads in prayer. And if you feel so led of the Lord, would you come tonight and just kneel here in the altar and pray for souls tonight? Would you just come and just say, Lord, help me to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. Help me to reach out to somebody this week. Because you're so precious and salvation is so real. God, help us to be a witness this week. Just come and pray. We don't need the piano tonight. We're good. Just talk to the Lord. Amen.